Hey, Arch, I got a two-prong question for you. You can handle it easily. I'm enjoying how now the NFL trade deadline is almost coming like Major League Baseball's trade deadline. High-profile names moving all over the place. How do you feel about that, and will the Falcons go out and try to get a pass rusher?
I think they're going to continue to look, Rob. I think that, you know, and I'm not saying anything you guys don't already know. I think Terry Fontenot is always scanning and trying to figure out what fits and things. There's some parameters to some of the players. I know the one particular player plays for the Jets. Can't talk about it because he's currently under their regime. I know they're still working a contract with him. But there's some things that are attached to him that make him a little bit less attractive as far as being able to, Not the person, but some of the parameters around it. Now, I know that's kind of elusive and things like that. But I think they're still looking, Rob. I think they're going to try to, you know, do whatever they can to get somebody in here that fits what they do, fits who they are personality-wise, and obviously a guy can make plays in the field.
You like it, though? You like this kind of new approach in the NFL, the trades?
Well, it's interesting that I think there's a lot of teams that are running a similar style of defense and offense. And so I don't think it's quite as hard to fit guys in. Now, if you go get a quarterback or something like that, it's a little bit different. But I think if you want to fit a receiver in, like we saw the two teams went and got a couple of receivers, Amari Cooper and Devontae Adams, those are guys that I think can fit into those systems. So I think that it's a little bit easier to go find a guy. You know, baseball, it's easy. You go find a guy to play right field or and hit in the third spot. There's not a lot of, you know, dynamics attached to that. But when you got a guy that's got to come in and learn an offense or a defense, that makes it difficult.
Well, it's funny you bring that up, Arch, and I think you'll like this. So I was asked about the Falcons making trades, and I was like, I think I only remember two in my 5 years, and one of them was a player for player. Akeem Dent was traded for our now quarterbacks coach, T.J. Yates, from the Houston Texans. I'm like, man, that's a throwback
sexy.
Pick
that's a
right,
sexy
there.
Trade right there.
But, Arch, I want to focus a little bit, too. You talked about the possibility. I kind of brought up the point earlier that, you know, when you listen to Raheem talk about Arnold Ebiketie, it sounds like he's pretty comfortable with Arnold Ebiketie at that spot. And, obviously, Matthew Judon, you already brought him in kind of on the other side in those situations. So it sounds like Raheem likes what Arnold Ebiketie's doing right now. What have you seen from AK so far this year?
Well, I thought this last weekend, Mike, that I thought – AK was very active this last weekend. He talked about, I know, with the interviews that he did with Dukes and Bell on Wednesday. When I talked to him on Monday for his coach's show, he talked about how he stole a sack from Ebiketie because he accepted a holding penalty. It was the right thing to do in that situation from a strategy standpoint, but just to indicate that Ebiketie was there and would have gotten a sack. I thought he was close to the quarterback two or three times. I thought it was his most active game of the season. So, if you're gauging it on coming on and getting better, he's getting more reps too. I think that they've been trying to settle in as to who they want to play on the edge. So I think that's part of it as well. But I think Ebiketie is I thought he had a good week last weekend against Carolina. And he's got an opportunity against a team this weekend in Seattle that's given up, 19 sacks on the year. This is a team that's given up some sacks, the Geno Smith. So I think that if he's a hot player, and if there is such a thing as a hot player when you only have five sacks, he seems to be one of those guys that seems to be coming on.
Well, don't worry, Arch. I've been told by different trade scenarios, if he doesn't come on in the next couple of weeks, we can always trade D'Angelo Malone in a seventh for Max Crosby on the workout just fine for us. Look, DK Metcalf is honest. He's one of the better receivers. He's a big physical guy. I know that he's been up and down this year and he's been complaining, but how do you play and defend a guy like DK Metcalf?
Well, you mentioned the big physicality. The thing that makes him different is his ability to run. So, you know, you get big physical receivers, it's one thing. You can put a bigger corner on them. You can put a guy that's a little bit more of a gnat guy that kind of gets in their way and they can't seem to get off the ball and things like that. This guy's a different dude. I think you're mixing coverage up on him, trying to confuse him. Maybe try to get him a little bit irritated because he's not touching the football. He only caught three passes last week against the 49ers, and I thought that he looked like on tape that he was starting to get frustrated. I think that that's something that happens to him. I think that that's something that Geno Smith's continually battling on the sidelines, trying to make sure that he understands. You know, I'm trying to get you the ball. Just keep playing. So I don't think there's any perfect remedy to playing a big receiver that can run like he can. He's a talented guy. Biggest thing is don't give up the big explosive play. You know, this is an offense that they haven't thrown all of it. He's thrown six touchdown passes on the year. Geno Smith So they haven't made a lot of plays in the end zone. They made some explosive in the middle of the field, but I think just keeping them away from big plays, making him earn everything he gets, tattoo him when he catches the football, those are really the only things you're going to do to him.
Talk about the evolution of Zach Robinson. After week one, the Villagers were about to run him out of town with torches as if he were Frankenstein. And just talk about that evolution.
Yeah, I think Rob, it's about him learning his personnel. I think that we knew that there was going to be a growing period. It was going to be complementary with his quarterback learning the people he's playing with. I mean, you can call plays all you want to, but there's another guy out on the field that's executing those plays, and Kirk Cousins is a guy that started to come on as well. I think those two guys are locked hand in hand, understanding rotations, when they want certain guys in the game. The running back rotation has been fun to watch and how they've been able to exploit those two guys and go with a hot hand. Which guys are guys that are going to play in the slot? You heard Raheem talk about this week, kind of some of the plan that they didn't necessarily divulge to the public during training camp, but what they want to do with Drake London and mirroring some of the things that Zach had done and that Sean had done out in L.A. with Puka Nacua, was attacking different areas of the field with a big-bodied receiver, because Drake's got the ability to do that, moving him around, those kind of things. I think that some of that's starting to come to light, some of it's starting to become more comfortable, and he's settling into a rhythm as to what he can get to and who he can trust in certain situations. So I think that it'll continue to get better, too, I think.
Arch, when you look at the Seahawks defense on tape, why have they struggled to stop the run? They're 27th in the league, allowing right at, 145 yards a game?
Yeah, they're giving up explosive plays, Bo, is what the deal is. In their first three games, they gave up, I think, 14 explosive plays. That's 15 yards or more. The last three games, they've given up 24 plays of 15 yards or more. And some of those, there's a good number of those have been run plays. And so I think that the number, when you look at the number, it's similar to Atlanta's number. I think when you look at 145 yards, wow, you're getting bludgeoned to the run game. Well, it's not as bad as it seems, because they're giving up a play here or there that blows the number up. I thought if you looked at Atlanta's run defense last week, it was a little better than the number might have indicated, although they only gave up 120 yards on the ground. That's still a good number of yards rushing, and it allows the team to stay somewhat balanced. But if you go back and look at it, it was like in two drives where Chuba Hubbard got loose for about 40 or 50 yards in two drives. And other than that, it wasn't a big deal. And I think that that's what's going on with Seattle. So I think the numbers are a little bit. Now, it tells you that they're giving up big plays, and they're giving up big plays in the passing game too. But I think that the number is a little bit ballooned because you've only played six games, and they've had a couple of games where they've given up a good chunk of yardage, and especially in explosives.
Finishing up with our buddy Dave Archer here. Dave, look, man, I think we've talked a lot about, kind of splits as far as run pass, and because Seattle is so heavy, like they lead the NFL in dropback percentage. Geno Smith, I think it's averaging, 46, 47, 48 dropbacks a game. But I want to talk about the Falcons in that aspect, because the last 2 weeks we've seen it done two different ways, right? Kirk Cousins, 58, passes thrown a couple of weeks ago against the Bucs, and then this past weekend you run for 200 against the Panthers. What do you see that split in and up like? And I don't know if I'm, got to be 50%, 50%, but what do you see the game plan being as far as the running game versus the pass game this weekend?
Well, certainly you're going to probe these guys against the run. As Bo just talked about, they've given up some explosives, and I think you'll continue to get after them. You got to figure, and you know as well as I do, Mike, what they're doing defensively. Mike McDonald's looking at that run defense, and they're putting on the tape what Atlanta did to Carolina. Say, wait a minute, we got to gang up against the run. We're going to stop the run. We're going to be better against the run game. So I think Zach will probe that. I think that the thing that you like, and I know you know this, you like the fact that you could ebb to one or the other, and you could be really good in either one. And I think that makes you difficult to prepare for. You got 3 days to get ready to play, as you know, and to try to prepare for everything Atlanta's doing from a receiver quarterback standpoint, throwing the football, to now all of a sudden you got to, do the physicality thing, get guys in the box and try to defend the run. That makes it tough to get ready for. So I don't think there is a magic balance. And it was 38 runs, I think 30 passes last weekend. And then it wasn't even more close to that Thursday night game you're talking about. So I love the fact that we can do that. I think that makes it makes you difficult to defend. But I don't think there is balance to me is when you're moving the ball. You know, what moves the football? That's the balance. And it's not run to pass.
All right, Arch, I got to ask you about your Cyclones. A good buddy of mine went to Iowa State as well, and y'all have such an interesting helmet history. Go back and look at the history of Iowa State helmets. You got UCF tomorrow. You know, you've got to deal with Utah on the road, I believe, also. What do you think going forward about your Cyclones?
Yeah, Rob, I'm going to get boring with you here. They got to make sure they take care of UCF. They had a tough time stopping West Virginia's run game early on, and it's quarterback run that bothers them more than anything else. Maybe we talked about this before. Now, K.J. Jefferson got sat down last week. I assume that he's ready to go. But they're UCF's averaging about 280 yards on the ground. Iowa State's giving up about 140, which is not anywhere near the top of the conference. But the quarterback run game has hurt them, and it's allowed teams to stay on the field. So I expect them to win this football game. I think they're a 15-point favorite in the game. I don't ever like to see that number. I like to see it a little bit closer because I think it is. But I think they're playing at a high level. They're doing a lot of good things on offense. They got two receivers that go make plays, and the young quarterback keeps improving. So if they can keep playing that good defense, solid bend, no break defense, then I like their chances in the conference.
All right, 4:30 on Sunday, Falcons will be 5-2, brother. Let's go out and get a win.
Let's go.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Arch.
Let's do it. Rise up, baby. Mm-hmm.